but I don't think it's changeable.
Blog
now that it's set up.
Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, August 27th. Oh, good. Sorry about that. We were just fixing a little technical issue that we have now corrected. It's good to be with you tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the show. And we're so glad that you, the listener, gets to be a part of it. And I got quite a bit of stuff to do tonight. I got figured I'd share with you about some of my favorite memories of this summer so far. And then I wanted to read to you the Bible from Luke 5. And then after that, a real quick Tigers update. And then I have season picks to make for tonight, season football picks, specifically for Midland High, Dow High, Michigan, and Michigan State. Some of you may be wondering, well, Miracle Man, aren't you going to pick the Lions? Well, no, never. I'm kidding. I'm going to pick them. It's just I'm not picking them until next week because they start next week. And I do it so that I make these predictions the week that they're going to start. Tomorrow night, we'll start the game-by-game outlook, or it's based on the individual game. So that you have these picks for the weekend, those of you who follow these games. And I'll discuss more of that at that time. Now, I wanted to share with you some of my favorite summer memories. And just because I say it first doesn't mean it was the best part by any means. It's because it came off the top of my head first. Well, one of the best things I did this summer, I think, was getting to go down south to see my brother down there in Alabama. And then getting to go to Cashville and book, I'm sure, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but Cashville is a nickname given for Nashville. You knew that, right?
I have heard that before, yes.
Yep. Let me see how much to see. Sorry about that. But as I was going to say, yeah, I got to go to Nashville as a part of that trip. And it worked perfectly because from here in Michigan, for the most part, if you're going to Alabama, unless you're going to like the far northeast part of Alabama or something like that, or maybe far northwest, northwest or southwest even, you get taken through Nashville. And it was real nice getting to see what God's doing in my brother. And also getting to enjoy Nashville. Some of the best fried chicken I ever had. I just had earlier this summer. Mind you, it was all the way back in the first third of this summer. It's one of the things about when it's 12 weeks, you kind of divide it up into thirds. It's crazy to think that it was that long ago, isn't it? 8 weeks. But when you go to places like that, there ought to be things that you do that later on in your life, as you have children and grandchildren, you'll be able to tell them about that. Like being able to tell them about Hattie B's Chicken down there in Nashville. Some of the best fried chicken that you will, that I've had. I say some of because there are some other places that I've had great fried chicken from, including Champy's Fried Chicken in Chattanooga, just to name one. But that was a big one. And then getting to go to Columbus as part of that. to go to Dominion Camp Meeting, that was an amazing, powerful word from Pastor Parsley. Now, as a city, you may ask, what do you think of Columbus? To that I say, I like it. It is a growing, thriving city. Many young professionals are going there. Moving there. Lots of different foods to be had. I will say this. They don't have anything amusement related like the other biggest cities in that state to the south, like Cincinnati. Brooke?
What?
Did you know that at Kings Island in Cincinnati, they are building a new roller coaster called the Orion. This roller coaster will go up 300 feet. Actually, the initial drop will be 300 feet. It'll be a 3-minute ride. It will feature speeds up to 91 miles per hour.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, right?
That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yes, it would. And I've only been there once. It was 6 years ago. I only did about 70%, I would say, out of what I wanted to do. Maybe next year, depending on when we see Ray. I'm thinking maybe next year maybe around camp meeting time. Maybe I may go to camp meeting and then go to Cincinnati. If we go to Cincinnati for a couple of days, I'm thinking one of the days I'll take and go to Kings Island and be there most of the day. Because at Kings Island, you get a double whammy. You get the water park included with your admission, unlike Cedar Point. So that means that it's just going to be awesome. And so that looks to be a lot of fun down there at Kings Island with the new coaster. There are only 7 coasters of 300 feet tall or taller. 2 of them are also in that state to the south. Can't say the O word on here because it's about football season. I know, right, Brooke?
Yeah.
So, gotta be careful. Yeah, I do. But that's crazy. 3 of the 7 in the world will end up being in one state. And of the 7, and of the 6, now 7 in the world, unless it's 7 now to be 8, I want to say only 5 of them are in the U.S. Does that sound about right, of the 300 feet and taller, that there's only 5 such in the U.S. right now, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Is it 5 or is it 6? You think it's 5?
I'm not positive. I could Google it.
Two are in one park. We already know where that is. 2 of them. One is in New Jersey. I think one's in California. Doesn't that sound about right?
Probably.
And then where's number 5? I don't think it's in Florida. That means that state to the south will have 3 of them. 3.
Tallest roller coaster in America.
There are 7 right now, or 6, in the world that are 300 feet tall and taller. They're called Jaeger coasters, I think. Jaeger coasters. Unless it's Giga.
Over 300.
2 of which are in Cedar Point. Where are the other 4?
It doesn't say where they are, but I'm looking at their names. And one's called the Intimidator 305. One's the Millennium Force.
Yep.
The Fury. Superman Escape. Top Thrill Dragster.
King Ka.
Yep, and King Ka.
That's the one in New Jersey. I want to say Superman. I think that's at Six Flags Great America, is it? Or in Chicago?
It is in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's in L.A. That's the California one.
Yes.
But it looks like the only state with 2 is the one to the south.
Yep.
And now they will be getting a 3rd.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, in that state to the south, when it comes to amusements, I love that their attitude, go big or go home.
Oh, yeah.
And that's part of why that state, if we didn't have the south in this country, I think it would be my favorite state. Since we do, there's several states that are ahead of it.
Yeah.
Kentucky depends on where. North, it's tied. South, I think, is. Depends on what I'm looking for. Food, I would say ahead. But there's something about these diners in Toledo. Oh, Lord, have mercy. and that spaghetti with chili in it. That looks so good to you, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yes, it does. So heavenly. But oh yeah, it was from what I did this summer, my favorite memory so far. And then also, speaking of coasters, getting to go to Cedar Point literally a week after I had just been in Ohio. Coming back from the South. And of course, Cedar Point was amazing, as it always is. And I got to go on all of the Elite 8 coasters there, including the 300-foot or taller ones. I mean, the two of them. But always a fun time. And then getting to go to the Tigers. All the one hat outside, of course, tanning. And it's been a good summer. There is a few days left in the psychological summer, in which the last day is Labor Day. But do it while you can. Because as we know in Michigan, summer lasts for about 6 weeks.
Yeah. Or shorter.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 11, 12, but because Mother Nature was being a brat, we lost 2 weeks right off the get-go. Boom. We had a decent weekend, the 8th and 9th, but then after that for 2 weeks, wasn't good. That 10 weeks, it could end up being 9 if it doesn't stay warm. So the good news is next year, Labor Day is not until the 7th. So that means an extra 6 days. And I like it that it's going to be a little bit longer personally, because it gives you a few more days because summer gets shut off. Doesn't that make sense? It gives you a few more days. Hopefully places won't start stuff later just because of it. Because the idea should be that everything gets an extra week.
Right.
Which, I like that a lot better. Because then that gives you a whole extra week to do stuff. And you don't feel rushed to get it all in if you don't get a chance to do it earlier in the summer. And it's fun when you go, like, for example, it's fun when you go to Cedar Point in the fall once in a while, like I do, but I'm most apt to go during the summer season and have the sun on my face while I'm flying high up in the air. The fall time has its appeal, but honestly, it's awesome either way. But when you go in that fall time on those fall weekends, it doesn't feel like the same pastime like it does when you go during the summer. Doesn't that make sense? Because that pastime is how it's been for 150 years. For 150 years, people weren't in the summer. It's only been for 25 years that people have went in late October. I mean, 22 years. 22 years, that doesn't have that same pastime sound to it, does it? And they've been having coasters there for about 115, 120 of those years. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Like 120 years?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But for the vast majority of those years, it was only during May up to August / Labor Day. That is the true, tried and true pastime. And for those of you who don't like summer, I have to wonder, why? And those of you who try to scream at me when February hits. Yeah, hurts too. That was a good one, wasn't it?
That made me giggle.
That was a good one too. It does. Sometimes it does. But if you hear me saying some stuff about how it's super cold and stuff, and you ask me, well, why don't you like winter weather so much? Well, one of the things I can come up with, I like to say I'm warm-blooded. So that means I really like the warm weather. And when it's summer and real hot out, you can go in the pool and cool off. There's nothing you can do outside in the winter that'll warm you up. That doesn't require you to be racing and running and flying down a hill. Unless you're in a hot tub. But even if you're in the hot tub, you can still feel that super cold air over top of you, can't you?
Yeah.
There's no escaping that, is there?
Nope.
There's no curtain you can put around that hot tub to shield you from that cold?
Right.
That's part of the point. Exactly why Miracle Man doesn't like winter so much. Okay, now, overall, it's been pretty good summer. And of course, we had my birthday party. That was fun. And all those fireworks. Like I said, it's been a lot of fun. Now, listeners, before I do anything else, I want to remind you how you can tell others how they can be a part of the show. It's real easy. You can have them call the number. The number to call into the show to listen in or to talk to the Miracle Man. If you want to talk sports, if you have a prayer request, a testimony, whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's not political, you can feel free to call into the Miracle Man. The number to call is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You will be taken through a call screener. My assistant will answer the phone, and she will let me know that we have a caller. and then I will let you on the air. And we can have our discussion. Hopefully we can take some great calls tonight. That's my honest hope. Now, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to open up the Word of God. And we will be going to Luke 5. As I told you when I did the introduction and kind of our outline for tonight, so what we're going to do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight giving thanks for what you've done in us. Thank you, Lord God, that you are Lord over all of us. Thank you, Lord, that we have come tonight to receive from you. I thank you, Lord, that as we study your word tonight and look at the things that you've done in people, that all these people would see that our God is still a miracle-working God. And I just thank you for what you've done in us and what you're going to do in us. I give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, I make my confession over this show that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, that finances are coming in, partners who want to see this ministry continue to go forward. And most importantly, Lord God, I thank you for souls, a huge harvest of souls coming into this radio program as a result of this ministry. I mean, souls coming into the kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Luke 5. Praise God. Luke 5. And I'm going to begin at verse 1. Sorry for being quiet. By the way, I beat all of you to the verse. I was hoping some of you maybe would have found it when I said what we were doing tonight, so you could bookmark Luke 5, get it in your phone, or get it open in your regular Bible, but I'm just going to take it as I want. So I will start reading, and you can go ahead and follow along. Verse 1 of Luke 5, NIV. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him, and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his disciples were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Another way we would say it in today's age, from now on, you will be a soul winner. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything they had, and followed Jesus. Next passage, beginning with verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left the man. Then Jesus ordered him, "Do not tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the size of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Verse 27. After this, Jesus went and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Then Levi heard a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered him, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. Verse 33. And they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. He told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sets it on an old one. If he does so, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out. The wineskins will be ruined. No. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants to drink the new. For he says, the old is better. All right. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Now, earlier in chapter 5, so I'm going to start with the second miracle that took place. This man was paralyzed. He was on a mat. These days, if you're paralyzed, you're in a wheelchair. In those days, they didn't have a wheelchair, so he was on a mat. And he's been in that condition for a long time. So he has some guys helping them out. They hear about Jesus. They decide to take him to the church where Jesus is. And so they make the trek down there. And as they're making that trek, they notice oh my Lord, there's no place to park. Where are we going to park? That's what Christians do nowadays. They go to church, can't find a place to park. They'll get mad, leave the church. Not these guys. That man who was on that mat, he was desperate. So they kept getting closer. When they try to get him in through the door, they can't get him in because the building is full. So they do something crazy. They put him up there on the roof of that building and bring him down through the tiles of the roof. And he gets set down right there in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Doesn't that just sound so crazy? To be brought into a building through the roof, through the ceiling. Nowadays, you could easily get arrested for that. Messing with property. Throwing someone down through that roof, through those ceiling tiles, and onto the floor. Right up front, right up there, right in front of Jesus. Jesus sees this man, and he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Of course, as we already know, the Pharisees had to throw a hissy fit about it. And those Sadducees, and they were all yelling, "Hey, he's speaking blasphemy." They falsely accused him. And then Jesus asked them, "Which is easier, saying your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk?" And then he says, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." He rose up and walked, and he began to tell everyone that he knew. And all the congregation they were praising God. I have to imagine they gave Jesus a standing ovation for what they just saw him do. I love how it says there. And the power of God, of the Lord, was there for Jesus to heal the sick people. The way we would say that was, there was a healing anointing that was present. I mean, there was a healing anointing present. Such a strong anointing. There's a lot, you know. and I'm sure people were praying beforehand. I imagine they had prayer. I imagine they had some worship and praise. Because I've been told that in every church service, you should have the three W's. The best church services have all three of them. Worship, Word, Workshop. Worship means, of course, praise and worship. Word is where we receive something from God. We teach the Word. Workshop is altar call. We call out something. Or it can just be a call for souls even. Worship, Word, Workshop. And so I have to imagine that they had some worship. You know, they sang some songs. And then the Spirit of God just fell in that place. The healing anointing. And listeners, in case you're wondering, this is not a fairy tale. This is real. It was the power of God that healed all these people. It was the power of God that healed that man who was paralyzed. It was the power of God that did this. Now this leprous man, this man who had leprosy, he's somewhere to preach, have a crusade in another place. And someone, a leper, comes into the meeting. He comes down in front of Jesus. And he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." You know, back in the days when Jesus was on the earth, there were what is called leper colonies. What those are, those were communities, places where lepers were supposed to live. They weren't supposed to leave these communities. It was in a prison, exactly, but it was a closed community. It was quarantined. If at any time they came in contact with the general public, which would certainly include this meeting where Jesus was, anytime they came in near a member of the public, they were supposed to yell out, "Leper, stay away from me. I got leprosy. Stay away." But this guy did not do what a leper was supposed to do. said he was crying, desperate. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I am willing. Be cleansed. And then he tells him, go show yourself to the priest. Because in the days of Moses, if they had leprosy, they were to go show themselves to the priest, to show the priest that they were clean. And not just say it. So they could have proof. And then he told him, don't tell anybody that I did this for you. What do you know? He told him. He told. Crowds got bigger, bigger, and bigger. And Jesus ended up withdrawing to lonely places to pray. Now, another miracle, this multiplication that you see near the start of this chapter, where there's these men out on the lake, and they're fishing. They've been out there all night fishing, and they tell Jesus, you know, we've been out here all night, didn't catch any fish. Jesus gave them instructions. They caught so many fish that they had to ask partners in another boat to come and help them. So the nets were about to break. There were so many fish that both boats began to sink after they had caught no fish after being out there all night long. And then Simon was all afraid and he said, you know, don't be afraid, just believe. I'm going to ask Jesus. One of the first questions I'm going to ask the Lord when I get up to heaven, I'm going to ask him, Jesus, why in the gospel did certain ones of your disciples keep doubting? Why didn't they just always believe? They saw you perform all these miracles with their own eyes. But they still decided to doubt. Thomas, who became known as Doubting Thomas, he only missed one meeting. And he didn't believe anymore. One church service. One. Mind you, they didn't have the Bible like they do now. They didn't have Kenneth Hagin, Mark T. Barclay, R.W. Schambach, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Copeland, Rod Parsley, or anyone else. They did not have YouTube. They didn't have the spiritual resources that are available today, but they had Jesus himself, and they still didn't believe. Now, they were such great ushers, but certain ones of the disciples kept choosing not to believe. and I'm going to ask Jesus why. Because I'm believing God for my miracles to be made manifest. And I totally believe. And I've never decided, you know what, God, I'm just going to give up. It's been so many years. The manifestation hasn't come yet. So I'm just going to leave the church. I'm just going to not go to church at all anymore. Lay down my Bible. And just decide that this whole thing's a hoax. No, not me. Not a chance. I believe that the Word of God is totally true. I don't have doubt. I don't walk in doubt and unbelief. I walk by faith. Jesus, in Corinthians it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't live by what I see. I don't live by what I feel. Deep down, I know that Jesus is here with me. And I know that if my God is for me, who can be against me? Nobody. And that's why in my life, doubt doesn't stand a chance. But they see all those fish. Sam sees all these fish and then he gets all scared. I don't know. Did he not know how to swim? Fail the swim test at the local YMCA? Of course, if you did that, of course you're going to be afraid, right, Brooke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course you're going to be afraid if you're the boat sinks and you fail the local swim test at the YMCA. Of course you'll be afraid then.
Right.
I know they didn't have Y's back then. That's why I was kidding about that. You know that, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm driving home is it was that doubt. It was that fear. Sometimes I feel like what can be blockading us from receiving a miracle two things that I think could be at play. One is fear, the other is doubt. If you're living in fear, listen to me right now. If you are living in fear and fear has a hold of you, then you are not living in faith. The more fear that is in you, the less faith is in you. So they give you that report that says you have cancer, and you get all clammy and you get all afraid when you should be calling on the name of the Lord. That's fear. faith is calling those things that are not as though they are. So what you say over your body is, I am healed of this disease. I am set free. I am healed. I am whole. I know who my Savior is, who died for me, who paid the price for my healing. I know who He is. I know, I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in me. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in me. And you're just... instead of worrying them, why don't you worship? You know, when Paul and Silas were in their darkest hour, instead of worrying and being all mad, they were worshiping God right there in their prison cells at midnight. When it's supposed to be lights out time. And they're just sitting there worshiping the Lord, their God, giving Him praise, magnifying Him. Right there in the storm. Instead of living in fear. We live by faith, not by fear. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Amen. Faith is now. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that we would just get it on the inside of us. Thank you for these miracles. And we know, Jesus, that you still are a healing Jesus, a freeing Jesus, a supplying Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done, what you've already done in us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen. All right. Now, for sports, the Tigers had a day off yesterday. Today, they start a series against the Cleveland Indians at Comerica Park in downtown Detroit. Game one is at 7:10 tonight. The Tigers have not won a single series since May. Brooke, isn't that just pathetic? Isn't that just pathetic, Brooke, not winning a series since July? How can you do that? To me, that is just not something you see all the time. Not winning a series since May. Wild. They've got a chance. We'll have to see. So we will have to see what all takes place. But I would say, the Tigers haven't even won one series since all the way back in May. Isn't that insane? How does that happen?
I have no idea.
What happened to you?
I had to use the restroom.
Oh, that was your voice. You were using your voice thing. But I mean, that is really crazy to me, though. They've split a few series, but they haven't won one. That's what happens, though, when you trade away some of all your best players because you decide to be a cheapskate. Well, they'll try again this time. Even the 0-3 team, the team that tied the American League, the MLB record for losses, even they swept a couple series in the summer. Those Tigers did, but not these Tigers. Something must change now. Because they'll win a game, but then they'll lose two. Win another game, lose two more. It hasn't been as much the 5-game losing streak, the 9-game losing streak, the 12-game losing streak. You've heard of some clubs, though, who have done that, right? But what?
I think what's happening, they're trying way too hard and they're messing up the Tigers. They get something, they get three men on, and then they, I don't know.
I have a name for that, when you get three guys on base and then you don't score any runs. It is a game called Load It, Leave It.
Yeah.
Load 'em, leave him. Here's the objective of that game. That the Tigers are very guilty of playing. Step one, walk a guy. Or in your mind, Brooke, is step one walk a guy or is step one get a base hit? Brooke, what's step one of this game?
Get a base.
Step one, get a base hit. Step two, walk a guy. Step three, get a line drive into center field. Get another guy on base.
And then send them all home.
And then step, no, for load it, leave it. Load it, leave it. What that means is get them on base, get them stranded so that they all get out. The next step is a double play. There's two gone. The next step, a strikeout. That's just an example of how it can work. Then you have done the load it, leave it, which the Tigers have done way too often for way too long. Only for a few years back when they were really, really, really good, it didn't seem like they did load it, leave it quite as much. Lately, they've done load it, leave it a lot. Kind of sound like another team I know of who gets in the red zone and can't score touchdowns. The lie down. That sounds just like the lie downs, Brooke, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, get down in the red zone, don't score a touchdown. That's just like what load it, leave it is. And the Tigers are totally guilty of doing that. So we'll try again this series. Now, it's time for football previews. I was going to do this in two parts. Part of it last night, part of it tonight. But last night, time was running out on me, so I'm going to pick Midland High, Dow High, and then I will pick Michigan, and then Michigan State. First off, Midland High. So, Midland High this year has a rather young squad. Many of the guys in key positions, especially on the offensive side, are juniors. The quarterback, Justin Money, and also the running back are both juniors. Many of the guys on the tight end's a junior. Many of the guys on the defensive side are also juniors, but there are a few. Eli Gordon is one of the defensive backs. He was the one who helped save Midland's season last year. Because remember, playoff point-wise, Dow was actually ahead of Midland before the Midland-Dow game by a couple points. Remember, Brooke?
Say that again?
Dow was ahead of Midland for playoff points last season before the Midland-Dow game. Remember?
Oh, I think I do remember that.
So that, in your mind, had Eli Gordon not made that play and intercepted that pass that Dow had planned for the end zone, in your mind, would have Midland gotten the playoff without that, or do you said no?
Oh, man, I wish that I could remember the game as vividly as
possible. I don't think they would have got in.
You don't think so? Why not?
Because of the playoff points being about five lower.
Gotcha.
But it did seem like Dow's playoff points were a little high for being a 5-4, though. And mind you, Dow did play one more playoff qualifier than Midland did.
Oh.
And that being said, kind of like how there's something, will be a comparison that'll be in a couple of minutes. And then it'll make sense. Now, this year, Eli Gordon, the guy who made that great save for us, he's back. Many of the seniors from last year, the ones that were seniors, all those seniors, they all graduated. So in some positions, it's a reboot. But many of those kids who were sophomores who got brought up from JV at the end of the regular season, they got to experience what a very successful playoff run is like. And Midland hadn't went deep into the playoffs since 2013. Which was uncharacteristic of Midland. Because all the years that I was there, we made it at least to round two. One of the years all the way to Fort Field. So, other than the play, some of them, before last year, they could have called me up and asked what it was like if Coach Mettner didn't remember. I know, right, Brooke? They could have just called me up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They could have just called me up. What's it like getting to the regionals and getting to the semifinal? What's it like? And then, and then I could tell them. But these guys, they experienced it. And in an article on the Midland Daily News, he said that these kids, the team chemistry is very good. You saw that too, didn't you? That article, didn't you?
I think so, yep.
And he loves the team chemistry. And I feel very good about this team this year. Of course, staying healthy in football is always the name of the game. And now, it's time for the pick. First off, games with playoff qualifiers from last year. Last year, Midland went 6-3 in the regular season. All three of the losses coming two of the three were to playoff qualifiers. One of which was to Traverse City West, and the other was to Mount Pleasant. They finished at 6-3 last year after having a very slow start. This year, my prediction, they will take at least one step forward and go 7-2 at worst. The two losses, I think, will be against Traverse City West on Thursday, and then against Mount Pleasant later in the year. I hope the article previewing Traverse City Western versus Midland comes out tomorrow before I do tomorrow's show, so that I can change, because on tomorrow night is when I'll start picking individual games and these, and then I will change that pick if I need to. And if they're super young, if we beat Traverse City West, I think 8-1's a possibility. I do. And so I think it's going to be a good year for Midland. Dow High is coached by Jason Watkins. It's his 11th year at the helm as coach, so pretty experienced. And like Midland, Dow lost a lot of seniors to graduation as well. Dow does, however, have some pretty good weapons on both sides of the ball. I must caution, though, that Dow is very small this year. You saw that in that article when they said the weight to some of those kids. They seemed very low compared to Midland, didn't they? Seemed like they were quite a bit smaller, didn't it, Brooke?
Yeah.
And I think even come Midland Dow game, I think that could be a factor, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
So with that in mind, so their quarterback is Shane something. I forget, but last year it was Shane A-Strike. This year it's another Shane, which I think is kind of funny. That's kind of funny. That you replace one Shane at quarterback with another Shane? That's kind of funny, isn't it? But they have a senior QB, whereas Midland has a junior. And then they lost Nick Soroki to injury in week 8 last year, so he was out when they needed him the most. This year Dow want to do better than 5-4. However, while I think they can do great things, I think they can put up a lot of points. The size kind of worries me, though. And when I think about it, the playoff qualifiers this year that Dow will face are Grand Blanc, Lapeer, Mount Pleasant, and Midland. Last year, how did they do against playoff qualifiers? In the regular season, they didn't beat any. At all. This year. I think they are going to be 5-4. I think if they were a little bit older, maybe a little bigger, I might feel a little bit better. I would have went even lower, but I liked some of what I saw in that article and the things that Jason Watkins had to say. So I'm going with 5-4. Both Midland and Dow start their seasons on Thursday night, so I will pick both of these games tomorrow. Michigan. They are returning their quarterback in Shea Patterson. They waited till yesterday to announce who the starting quarterback was going to be. He waited. Jim Harbaugh waited. They should have announced that weeks ago, don't you think? I hope he knew. I hope Shea knew long ahead of time. Because teams who do great things, like what Michigan is trying to, they know long in advance who that quarterback is going to be. And so they got Shea Patterson back at quarterback. They have a new offensive coordinator out of Alabama, who has done some great things. What needs to happen for Michigan? Offense must improve. Defense has been awesome the last 2 years. Last year, the offense was, in 2017 it was okay. Last year it was good, but it didn't match the intensity of the defense. Nor was it what it takes to beat some school to the south or to beat Notre Dame, which they face both of this year, by the way, both of them, and Penn State. I was listening to a show this afternoon by the name of X's and Bros. This guy's out of Detroit. He says Michigan 10-3, losing to Notre Dame, that team to the south, and I'm going to assume Penn State. Before I make my prediction, I should note most of their toughest games are at home this year, which should really help having Michigan Stadium filled to capacity with some of America's greatest fans. So, my prediction for the Maize and Blue this year, 11-2. their only two losses will come to Notre Dame and that team to the South. In fact, I think they will literally be plays away from an undefeated season. Plays away. Plays going their way. And maybe the defense could take a stand. Or the offense could take a stand in both of those games. Then maybe we could go 13-0 and make it into the college football playoff. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. See us do that.
Me too.
And I would. Then to be honest with you, although I love that team to the South a lot, I want to see the rivalry become a little more intense. That meaning I want to see Michigan win some of these too. So, and what that does is if, say, for 10 years, every year someone else wins it. One year Michigan wins it. Next year that other team gets it. Next year Michigan. Next year that other team. And then maybe next time someone gets two. But then it gets back on track. One year one gets it, the other gets it. And if a lot of them are really close, that makes it even more fierce, doesn't it? That makes it even more fierce because then it makes it unpredictable. They could be plays away from going undefeated. And sometimes heartbreak is just a pain, but it's how it is. Knowing you were so close, knowing that if you had the time to get one more first down, could get a first down goal to go inside the 5-yard line, Patterson throw for a pass into the end zone. Touchdown. We'll have to wait and see. Their first game is against Army on Saturday at the Big House. Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio. They are returning rookie as quarterback. They're a little bit older this year. Much of their team is returning. And a lot of the recruits that they have look really good. And I'm expecting a good year out of Michigan State this year. I got to be honest with you about this Big Ten. I think the best teams coming out of the Big Ten could be Michigan, Michigan State, and that school to the south. Michigan State plays most of the same opponents we do, including Notre Dame. I think State will finish at 10-3, losing to Michigan, the school to the south, and Notre Dame. There are your seasonal picks. I will do the Lions pick next week. All right, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.